Tonight we're going to open up our study through the book of Revelation. It's been quite a number of years since I've taught verse by verse through the book, and that's what we're going to begin to do tonight. So let's turn to the book of Revelations, chapter 1. I'll be using a lot of things. Eventually I'll have some graphs to give to you and some things for the board and all that. But right now we're just going to get a start on the book of Revelation. So what we're going to do, verses 1 through 8, is going to be the introduction, which I will not get through this evening. But we do want to get you introduced to the book. And you can write down the outlines. And then as we go through it, you can also write down the questions that you may have with regard to it. I'll give you an outline, as I said. I'll give you an overall outline also so that you can get an idea of what the entire book. If you can think your way through the book, I think it's a good thing to be able to do. So I'm going to give you some outlines with regard to it. The way I look at the book of Revelation is a little bit different. I would be called what you call pre-trib, pre-millennial, as far as what the future events are, but it's a different view still yet. It's a different look. Just to give you an example, I'm not looking out in the future for the Antichrist. I believe that the Antichrist is already here and has been here. That's one difference. Daniel 70-week prophecy, we'll look at that in Daniel chapter 9. I've taught on it many times over the years, and there's given a time frame there. And I think Daniel's 70-week prophecy is a prophecy about the Messiah and his first coming. And most generally, that's pushed out into Daniel 70th week. Most people refer to that as the week of the tribulation. I don't think that's so. And I'm going to show you that too. So there's a lot of differences, pre-trib, pre-millennial, but there'll still be a lot of differences in what we look at. So I think it'll be easy to follow, and I pray that it is, and I pray that you be blessed by it. So let's go ahead and get into it. We'll start this evening. You write your questions down as we go, and then eventually when we get done, then we'll cover those. If I get too many, then I'll cover it somehow we do it. Some of the questions will be answered as you go farther, in the book. Okay? All right, let's go ahead and begin at verse 1. It says, Revelation of Jesus Christ, which God gave unto him, to show unto his servants things which must shortly come to pass. He sent signified it by his angel unto his servant John, who bare record of the word of God and of the testimony of Jesus Christ and of all things that he saw. Blessed is he that readeth, and they that hear the words of this prophecy, and keep those things which are written therein, for the time is at hand. I want you to notice that again. The time is at hand. That was wrote 2,000 years ago. John, to the seven churches which are in Asia, grace be to you, peace from him which is, which was, which is to come, from the seven spirits which are before the throne. So we're going to stop with that. Verses 1 through 8 is the introduction, but I'm no way can cover that many verses this evening. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we're thankful for this privilege and these people that chose to come out on this Sunday evening. And Lord, we pray for others to start coming on Sunday evening too. I'd like to see our people come to all the services. And Lord, we pray that you'd place that on their heart and give them the desire to come, sit, be in the congregation and worship and hear the study from this book. Bless us, Lord, as we do it. In Jesus' name I pray. And amen. Now it says the revelation of Jesus Christ. And the word Revelation is where you get the word apocalypse. How many of you heard the term apocalypse? That's the word revelation. You look up the word revelation, that's what that means. And what's the apocalypse mean? It means the uncovering. It means to uncover. And what the book of Revelation it does is it uncovers the future coming of Jesus Christ. Let's turn to 2 Thessalonians chapter 1. I'll show you. I mentioned this when I talked through 2 Thessalonians here not long ago. But the word reveal. Remember, Revelation comes from the word apocalypse. And it means the uncovering or the revealing of Jesus Christ. Are we waiting for Jesus to be revealed? Sure are. Not revealed as far as us knowing Him as our Savior, but revealed as far as Him coming. We're waiting on Him to step out. We're waiting on Him to come in the clouds. And beloved, that is a visible thing. Scripture says that every eye shall see Him, even those that pierced Him. That's why I don't believe in a secret rapture where you have Jesus coming and nobody knows what's going on. Every eye shall see Him, even those that pierced Him. We'll see all of these things. Now, notice what it says here in 2 Thessalonians 1. It says in verse 6, it says, "Seeing it is a righteous thing with God to recompense tribulation to them that trouble you. And to you who are troubled, rest with us when the Lord Jesus shall be revealed." You see that word revealed? That's the same word for the uncovering or the revelation or the apocalypse. That's the idea of the word. We're waiting on Him to be revealed. Now, we're not talking about being revealed for salvation. God revealed to us that He was the Savior and we trusted Him as salvation. We're waiting on Him to come. We're waiting on Him to come in the clouds of glory. And that's what this revealing is talking about. He's going to step out and He's going to come. I can't imagine that. And beloved, think tonight, we may just see that. We may be that generation that gets to see Him coming in the clouds of heaven. So, that will be a glorious thing. Let me finish reading this. "To you are troubled, rest with us, when the Lord Jesus shall be revealed from heaven with His mighty angels in flaming fire, taking vengeance on them that know not God and obey not the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, who shall be punished with everlasting destruction from the presence of the Lord and from the glory of His power. And He will come to be glorified in His saints and be admired of all them that believe." So that's the idea of revelation. It means the revealing. He's revealing truths in the book of Revelations about His coming. And of course also, when we get on over the book, he goes back and looks at some history. We'll have to go back to the book of Daniel. We'll have to bring in the book of Daniel to interpret the book of Revelations also. Of course, the book of Daniel is the book of Revelation of the Old Testament. And then you'll see that what Daniel saw would be the same thing that John saw. And the reason why that is it's the same Holy Spirit that revealed these future truths. So that's the idea of the word revelation. He's uncovering truths about the coming of the Lord Jesus. And we're going to look at it. It'll be a blessing to us, I think. Okay? The revelation of Jesus Christ, which God gave unto him. This book is God given. The Apostle John wrote it on the Isle of Patmos. He was exiled there for preaching the gospel. And while he was on the Isle of Patmos, that's when the Lord revealed to him the book of Revelation. And he penned the book of Revelation. So he's going to show to his servants the things which must shortly, I can't stress that enough, shortly come to pass. And the time was short 2,000 years ago. So what does that mean today? It's even shorter. So that's why I'm saying we could be very, 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 very close to the coming of the Lord. And I say this a lot. I don't think there's a lot of things that have to happen for the Lord to come. I think many of the events the Bible prophesied is going to happen have happened. And I think the only reason why the Master hasn't come yet is He still saving His people. I think that's the only reason that He hasn't come yet. I don't know when that last lost sheep is going to be brought into fold. I don't know when that's going to be. I know it's going to be. And when He's done, save Him. He'll look at His son and He'll say, "Man, go get your people out." And that's what He'll do. He'll come and take us home. And beloved, that could be tonight. We don't think He's going to come tonight, do we? We don't live our lives with the coming of Christ in view. I pray we don't do that. Now, can I ask you a question? If you knew Jesus was coming tonight, you'd live different tonight. You'd live different tomorrow. We should live every day of our life as if Jesus was coming that day. And that changes the way that you live. When He comes, I want to be found serving. When He comes, I want to be found faithful. When He comes, I want to be found seeking to please Him. Don't you? So if we live our life with knowing that He could come, it was short back in, knowing that He could come at any time, another thing that'll do is help keep you out of sin. I wouldn't want to be living in sin when Jesus comes, would you? I want to be serving Him, pleasing Him, in His house. You know, somewhere in the world there'll be, when the Lord comes, there'll be people in church, and there'll be people out of church, won't they? I want to be in church when the Lord comes. I want to be a fan. And when you really believe that Jesus is coming, and you look every day for His coming, it changes the way you live. All God's people said, you see where I'm coming from? It changes the way you live. And He says these things will shortly come to pass. Now He says, let me tell you one more thing here. Let's turn to Hebrews 1. Let me give you some things to go with it. I'm not going to rush. I'm just going to take my time. Hebrews chapter 1. Now one question I get a good bit is are we in the last times? Well, of course we are. There can be no doubt that we're in the last times. Well, people say, I think we might be in the... There's no doubt that we're in the last days. Because I want you to notice this. Hebrews 1 and verse 1. God, who at sundry times and in different manners spake in time past unto the fathers by the prophets. That's how He spoke in time past. He spoke in time past by the prophets. And what the prophet says, you have in the Old Testament. I mean, the Bible is called the Law and the Prophets. The Law and the... You have the first five books of the Law, and then the rest of the Old Testament is the Prophets. So it's keep making time passed by the prophets. Now, verse 2, what does it say? He hath in these last days... Everybody see it? He hath in these last days spoken to us by His Son. So, how long have we been in the last days? 2,000 years. Is that not clear? I mean, it just says it right there. He hath in these last days spoken to us by His Son, by whom He hath appointed heir over all things, by whom He made the world. So, we've been in the last days for 2,000 years. 1 John chapter 2 now. Let's turn to 1 John chapter 2. 1 John chapter 2, and this blows people's mind. 1 John chapter 2 and verse 18. It says, little children, that's what he calls the believers he's writing to. He calls them little children. It is the last what? It is the last time. He wrote that in 1 John. Hebrews records it too. He's calling the time that Messiah was here the first time. That time frame is the last days. Little children, it is the last time. Are you ready for this? And you've heard that the Antichrist shall come. Now what's it say? Even now. There are many Antichrists. Whereby we know that it is the what? We know it's the last time. So, if they knew it then, and the Bible says it was the last times then we're in the latter part of the last times now. Not that this means anything. I say this every time. If I can remember how to, I think from Adam to Abraham was 2,000 years. And I think from Abraham to Jesus was 2,000 years. And since Jesus is here the first time till today, it's been 2,000 years. I'm not saying that means anything, but I think that's pretty interesting, don't you? It's in sections that way. Well, is it the last days? Of course, the Bible says that it is. Let me read this again. 1 John 2 and verse 18. Little children, it is the last time. You've heard that the Antichrist shall come. Then he says, even now there are many antichrists, whereby we know that it is the last time. So let's go back now to the book of Revelations. So God gave the book, and we're talking about the last days. We're in them. We're just waiting on him to come. What I'm trying to tell you tonight, you need to be ready for him to come. When he comes, you want to be found serving him too, because that'd be well pleasing, wouldn't it? Okay? All right, back to Revelation chapter 1. We've noticed that Revelation means the unveiling of Jesus Christ, dealt with his second coming, which God gave unto him to show to his servants things which must shortly come to pass. And he sent and signified. Now, I want you to underline signify. And I'm going to tell you what it means. It means to give by a sign or a picture. The word signified means to give by a sign or a picture. So what does that tell you about Revelation? It's going to have a lot of in it. It's going to have a lot of figurative language. And he's telling you that right off the very bat. When he uses the word signified, it means to give by a sign or a picture. Revelations 4 and 5 talks about 24 elders. It talks about beasts. It talks in Revelation 13 about a beast coming up out of the sea or a beast coming up out of the earth. What kind of language is that? Figurative language. I'm going to tell you something about the book of Revelation. It will tell you in the context what the pictures are. That's where people get in trouble. They'll go, well, I think it means this, or I think this is a picture of that. Well, the context will tell you what it pictures. It'll tell you right there and then, so there is no doubt about what it represents, so there's no guesswork in it. But what it does tell you is that it's going to use a lot of figurative language, so you need to be prepared for that. It'll tell you. Okay? Now, here in Revelations chapter 1, there's going to be a vision, and you have a picture of seven lampstands in Revelation. Seven lampstands. And Jesus is seen in the midst of these. It says candlesticks, but the word candlestick in the Greek is a lampstand. That's what it's talking about. So you have these lampstands, seven of them. And right in the midst of these seven lampstands is Jesus. What you see, you're going to see that later on in Revelation chapter 1. What in the world's in lampstands? Not only do you see lampstands, but you see with these lampstands, seven stars. Well, I think the seven stars is a picture, and they'll tell you, the context will tell you what it pictures. I'm not only using this as an example now. Are you ready? Verse 20. The mystery of the seven stars which thou sawest in my right hand, and the seven golden candlesticks, the seven stars are the seven angels of the seven churches. Now the word angel is the word messenger. And the context determines whether you're talking about an angel, or just a messenger. Okay? So here you have the seven stars are the messengers of the seven churches. Who's the messenger here at Elizabeth? The pastor. That's what it's talking about. It's talking about the pastor. Now, if you want to call me instead of Pastor Arthur, Angel Arthur, that would be awesome. You go right ahead and do it. But here in the Greek word for angel here is messenger. That's the idea of the word. And, don't do that, Henny. I know you're even thinking that. But, that's the idea of the word. A church has a chief messenger there. They have someone that gives the messages. And that's the pastor. So the seven stars are the angels of the seven churches. These churches, what did the lampstands represent? What did the lampstands represent? Seven what?
Seven churches.
And the churches that are listed here are the seven churches of Asia. And you see them in chapter 2 and chapter 3. And you can look at a map, and they're like in a circle. They're real close by. They're like in a circle. I'll give you a piece of paper to look at so you can see them. The Isle of Patmos was right off of Asia, where John was in prison. It's like a devil's island. He was exiled there for preaching the gospel. That's where he wrote the book of Revelations. And then he wrote the book, and it was to be sent to the seven churches of Asia. And that's in chapter 2 and chapter 3. Those were local churches. They had a pastor. They were carrying on the Lord's work. You know what they did? They get an evaluation from the master, the Lord Jesus. I love teaching chapter 2 and 3. He shows what he likes about the churches. He also shows what he doesn't like about the churches. They get an evaluation from the one that's in charge of the churches, and that is who? Jesus. That's going to be an interesting study. I've done that a couple times. That we'll look forward to that. But do you see the word signified means to give by sign or picture, so you're going to see a lot of figurative language. Seven churches are like seven lampstands. Why would the Bible liken the Lord's churches to lampstands? They shine the light. That's what a church is supposed to do. They're supposed to shine the light of the Word of God. That's why they're called what? Lampstands. They shine the light. I mean, here around us is so much darkness out in the world, but God sets these churches to carry His commission, to teach His Word, and to shine the light to a lost and dying world. And you got to remember why we're here. When you consider that a church is a lampstand, you see what you're here for. You're here to shine the light. So that is my example of what it does. Uses a lot of figurative language. We'll see the beast in Revelation 13, as I've said. All right, let's go back to Revelation chapter 1 and verse 1. Be sure to underline, if you underline in your Bible, underline that word signified. Underline that word means to give by a sign or a picture. Verse 2. Let's move on to verse 2. Who bear record of the Word of God and the testimony, bear record of the Word of God and the testimony of Jesus Christ. So they're going to bear record of the Word. So Revelation is God's Word, bearing witness of it. And they're revealing future events. They'll be revealing past events too. They're going to, in some places in the book of Revelation. But what you're going to see in the text, we're going to reveal future events too. Mainly at what Revelation is, of course, known for. So, they bear record of the Word of God and of the testimony of Jesus Christ and of all things that He saw. So he's going to bear record of what Jesus taught him and all things that he saw, and he's going to pin them down in this book. And he was charged with sending this message to the seven churches which are at Asia. And when you think about it, this book has been preserved. And now 2,000 years later, here in Bancroft, it's being sent to us. Isn't that a glorious blessing to be able to hear of the book of Revelation taught on? Verse 3 promises a blessing to those who read it. Promises a blessing to those who read it. Blessed is he that readeth. So there's a benefit right off the bat here in Revelation chapter 1. It promised you a blessing if you read it. Of course, not only are we reading it, we're going to read it as we teach through it, but you're hearing a teaching through it. So that is considered a what? It's considered a blessing. It is a blessing to be able to hear this book of God. It's a blessing to be able to have your own copy, so that you can read it for yourself. I dare say that back in that day, not every church would have had a copy of the book of Revelation. We do. God seemed to it that we have it. And it promises a blessing for those who read it, those who hear it. Blessed is he that heareth, that readeth, and he that hears. So not only does it promise a blessing on the reader, but it also promises a blessing on the hearer. So he promises you a blessing in this night. Promises you a blessing. You be sure to come to all of them. They hear the words of this prophecy and keep those things which are written therein. Now, what's it say in verse 3 now? The time is at Here you have it again, Henny. Everybody see it? He says, shortly come to pass in verse 1, and then you come down to verse 3. He says, the time is at hand. It's getting close. You say, well, 2,000 years is a long time, not in God's count time. I mean, he's outside of time. I mean, he's eternal. That's just like a snap with regard to our God. Not been that long, but it's been real long the way we count time. I believe the world's 6,000 years old. I don't think it's billions and billions of years old at all. I think you can get history, time of history, through Bible chronology. And I think that's the most accurate way to count time. Okay? So he promises a blessing on those that hear and those that read the words of this prophecy, but he also on those that keep those things which are written therein. Time is at hand. The things that are written, there's some things that we need to obey in this book. Not only is showing you future events, but he's also going to reveal to you sin. There will be sin revealed in the book of Revelation. And it's going to be important for us not only to see the future prophecies, but see what it calls sin, especially when you look in chapter 2 and 3. A lot of those churches in chapter 2 and 3 were in a mess. God addressed it with them, told them the things that they were doing right, and then he told them what was there was going wrong. He didn't like, and they got an evaluation straight from Jesus. But he went on some of them, he said if they didn't correct what went on, and God would come in there and remove their candlestick. What does that mean? That ceased to be a church. We'll shut it down. You saying, Jeff, that the Lord will shut down a church? Yeah, he will too. If it drifts in to error and continues in it, God will send rebukes to it. If it continues, man, God will deal with it strongly. Okay? Verse 4. Kind of like to stop at verse 4, but I don't know whether I'm going to turn on. Verse 4. John to the seven churches which are in Asia. So when he gives you the location of them, this means these are seven churches. Seven local churches. They had a location where they was at. They had a pastor or pastors. Of course, the church of Ephesus, when you read the book of Acts, I think it's chapter 20, you'll see they had several pastors because it was a big, big, big church. But they are local churches. Now, there's a great host of people that take this view that these are seven church ages. You ever heard that? A lot of people take that view. I don't take that view at all. I take it literally. I believe this was sent to the seven churches of Asia, and I believe in every age and every time frame since that time, you had churches like these seven churches. Churches like these. Okay? So, let's look at it again in verse 4. John to the seven churches which are in Asia. He gives you the location of them. That's why I said they were what kind of churches? Local churches, because he gives the location. Tells you where they're at. Then they're going to get the evaluation of what he saw in them that he didn't like. And he's going to write in them what was good. And I think you'll enjoy that stuff. John to the seven churches which are in Asia. He says, grace be unto you and peace from him which is. That's what he calls him. He's talking about God. He's the God which is, which was, and is to what? Is to come. Which is, which was, and which is to come. Why does it call it? Because what's the word Jehovah mean? Existing one. That's what the word Jehovah means. He was called Jehovah in the Old Testament. He's still called Jehovah now. He has many different names that he's called. The Jehovah names of God's a good study to do also. But the word Jehovah means the, what again? The existing one. So here, what's it say about him? He's the God which is, which was, and is to come. So he is the existing one. That's a good definition for the name of Jehovah. He's the God which is, which was, and the God that is to come. That'd be a good definition of that particular word. Okay? Now he mentions the seven spirits. The seven spirits which are before the throne. Now, I believe that the seven spirits that's before the throne, I think the seven spirits represent the Holy Spirit. You say, well, there's only one Holy Spirit. And I said, well, you would definitely be right. But the number seven is a representation number of fullness. This represents the Holy Spirit in His fullness. Now, let me turn you to the book of Isaiah 11, and that'll make, I think it'll make more sense to you. I am going to stop with this verse. I just wanted to introduce the book this evening and then get back on it next time. Isaiah chapter 11. So there's only one Holy Spirit, but here in the book of Isaiah chapter 11, it talks about the Spirit of the Lord, and then it describes Him different ways. Are you ready? Alright, now notice this now. Verse 2. And the Spirit of the Lord shall rest upon him. I want everybody to see this. Isaiah 11 and verse 2. And the Spirit of the Lord shall rest upon him. Talking about resting on who? The Messiah in the context. Now notice what it calls the Spirit of the Lord. He calls the Spirit of the Lord the Spirit of wisdom. Spirit of understanding. Spirit of counsel. The Spirit of might, Spirit of knowledge, and of fear of the Lord. Everybody see that? So when you just, I think there's six there, six descriptions there. But would you agree with me that when he's talking about the Spirit of wisdom and understanding, the Spirit of counsel, the Spirit of might, the Spirit of knowledge, Spirit of fear of the Lord, we're talking about the Holy Spirit. And he's just described those six different ways. And I think that's what he's doing in the book of Revelations also. The seven spirits represents the Holy Spirit. Let's go back to the book of Revelations. Picturing him in all of his fullness. And Isaiah 11 and verse 2 is an example of those different aspects of the Holy Spirit. Now, I gave you a message a couple weeks ago on Revelations. You remember we looked at Revelations 4, and we looked a little bit at the book of Revelations chapter 5. Not in any kind of detail, but one of the things we talked about in Revelations 4 and in the book of Revelations chapter 5 is that there were 24 elders. Remember that? Around the throne. Y'all remember that teaching? I'm not going to go back and repeat it, I can't. But also before the throne was seven what? Do you remember? Seven lampstands. Seven lampstands. And what do those lampstands do? What's a lampstand do? what do they do? They light the way, since they were right before the... If I had my paper with me, I could show you a little bit better. But these seven lamps were right before the throne. You had the sea of glass like in the fine crystal right before the throne. And then you have the seven lampstands. This candlestick, but the Greek means the lampstand. And these seven lamps, what do they do again? They light the way to who? They light the way to God. I ask you a question. Who lights the way to God? The Holy Spirit. No man can say that Jesus is the Lord, but by the Holy Spirit. That's why he's pictured that way. These seven lamps is a picture of the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit is the one that lights the way unto God. See, before you were saved, you were dead in trespasses and sin. The Bible says that you were blinded in your sin. And you know what happened to you, Larry? The Holy Spirit gives you. Were blind, and he opened your blinded eyes, and he lights the way to God. So, seven spirits of God in the book of Revelations pictures the Holy Spirit. That's why when you put all the figurative language together, you can see what they represent in the context. Okay? All right, let's go back to chapter 1. Let's wind this up of what little bit we've looked at this evening. Okay? I want to give you a quick review of it, and then we're going to stop. Revelation of Jesus Christ, which means the unveiling, the revealing of Jesus Christ, which God gave unto him to show to him his servants. He wants his servants to hear this. Show to his servants. What's he called God's people there? Calls them what? Servants. That's what we do. That's why we're here. Don't forget why you're here. You're not here to for your retirement. You're here to serve. Now that you're saved, that's why you're here. We're here to serve. We're here to serve the Lord. Each one of us is a saved. To show things which must shortly come to pass. He sent and he signified it, which means to give by sign a picture, by his angel, which means by messenger, his messenger unto his servant John, who bear record of the word of God and of the testimony of Jesus Christ and of all things which he saw. He's going to write down what he saw. In Revelation 4, he's going to be caught up into heaven and he's going to be shown things. And it's going to be a blessing to you. Blessed he that reads and they that hear. So God's already promised you a blessing if you will hear it. And if you do what else? Read it. So while we're doing our study, what should you be doing? Since you come and hear it, what should you also do? You should also read it. Read it for yourself. That'll bring up some questions too. Blessed he that readeth and they that hear the words of the prophecy and keep those things. The Revelation will tell you things you need to do, which are written therein, for the time is at what again? Man, it's coming. Now verse 4, we'll stop. John to the seven churches which are in Asia, it's local churches. Grace be to you and peace. God give them grace and salvation, the churches still need grace and peace, don't they? To him which is, which was, which is to come. The definition of Jehovah. He's the existing one. And from the seven spirits which represent the Holy Spirit, which are before where? That's how you know who they are. They're right before the throne. And that's the seven lampstands. What does it do? It lights the way of God. That's what the Holy Spirit does. What the Holy Spirit does. All God's people said. Alright, we're going to stop with that. That's just our introduction. And, we'll come back next Sunday night and we'll move on.